and turn to the book of John, chapter 15, please. John, chapter 15. We'll be reading verses 4 through 10. The title of message this morning is Abiding in Christ. I believe we'll go ahead and read from verse 1 through 10. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment, and abide in his love. 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Our gracious and our divine Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before Thee this day, and we thank You for the privilege You have given us to come apart from the daily activities of this life and come here this Lord's Day to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray that our minds and our hearts will be attuned to hear Your word. Open our minds that we might be able to receive Your word with gladness. That our lives in this life will be that which exemplify what You would be pleased with. Thank You for each person that has come out this day. And I pray Your blessings upon each one. Pray for those that could not come because of illness, that You would just be with them this day and bless them and strengthen them. And give them a reasonable portion of health, dear Lord. We pray for Brother David and his family, and the loss of a sister, mother, friend of many. That You would bless this family and group in a special way and comfort them as only You can. Lord, we pray that You would be with us this day. I pray for the man that owns B&B Landscaping that's in the hospital at this time. We pray Your blessings upon him. May they be able to find what the problem is and correct the problem. For many others on our prayer list, Sister Rogers there in Kentucky, bless her, strengthen her. Lord, for preachers, friends of ours that are sick, pray for their healing as well. Be with my parents, dear Lord, and give them a reasonable portion of health. Bless Mom as she deals with the daily situation she has every day. Pray for Brother Mark Finneson as he at this time has decided to not pastor and care for his wife, I pray for them as well. Lord, be with us, bless us as we study your word this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Abiding in Christ. Definition in Webster's dictionary has various different, as we know, different meanings, different tenses of the word. But the word abide in verse 4 means to dwell, to endure, to remain stable. He says, abide in me. It is an exhortation to continue in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and to find strength in Him. In this way, Christ is then formed in our hearts in a very special way. Those that are born again by the Spirit of God know Him differently than those that know Him with just a mental assent. And there are millions of people that name His name, may even pray, but in reality they do not know Him as Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, to the true Christian, to the genuine born-again, blood-bought Christian, is one who is our life, our sustenance. He sustains us throughout all the days of our lives. But lost men may not understand that, but they too are dependent upon Him, whether they acknowledge it or not. In fact, all of His creations are dependent upon Him. And He made every one of His creations for a reason. For a reason. To honor and glorify Him. But only the saved, those that have been truly born again, are in Christ in that special way. He's the true vine, and only they can abide in Christ and bring forth fruit. You know, God has given man so much to enjoy while passing through this life. But He has also given all men the responsibility to acknowledge Him as their Creator. He's told all men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. But if they reject Him and turn their backs upon Him, they will, in fact, reject Him and turn their backs upon Him until He intervenes in their lives and draws them to Himself. They think that they are responsible to no one but themselves, that man is the master of his own destiny, and that no one has a right to judge him or say that he is wrong in what he feels comfortable in doing in his life. How many times have we faced that? You know, I got to meditate upon that. And I don't know why, but the first man that came to my mind is the president of our country. He is our president. The office we salute. But this man came from zero. Literally had absolutely nothing. And he
hates the very provision that has made him a millionaire today, and that is capitalism. I don't understand that at all. I cannot conceive. But here's a man who absolutely was, humanly speaking, nothing. And I could name some names, I could say some things about that I don't need to. But where is he today? The president of the greatest country in the world today. I mean, people call us, used to call us that. I don't know where we stand today. A little bit less now. But I'm now a millionaire. Who permitted Osama Hussein Obama to reach to that height? From there to there? Only God. Only God. In Romans 14 and 12, it says in part, so then every one of us shall give an account to himself to God. What a surprise it will be for millions upon millions who refuse to accept the biblical account of, number one, creation. Because one day God will reveal to them who He is. They'll know without a shadow of a doubt that He is their Creator. They can reject it today, but one day they will bow to Him. They'll see what He has done. He knows who they are and to whom they individually are responsible. They one day will see His glorious majesty and the glory of it all and how He upholds everything in this world by the word of His power. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. What a verse. What a powerful statement. And so now we see in our text this morning, in verse 4, it's John 15 and verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. What does that mean? Dwell with Him. To remain stable, to continue in communion with Him. Abide in me. A command. A command. Abide in me. Stay with Him all the way to the end. Don't look to the right or the left. Stay firm. Continuance. And He continues, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. In my front yard, I have standing by the driveway a potted plant that Connie gave me when we were down in Dothan for my birthday. And what it is a lemon tree. That lemon tree has, I didn't count them, maybe 6 or 8 lemons on it. And I know what happens
if I cut one of those lemons off.
I know what happens if I cut a branch off and prune that lemon tree. I separate it from its source of life. It starts to degenerate. It starts to its death process the moment you sever that branch from that vine.
He tells us, abide in me.
Abide in me. Stay with me, folks. Abide in me. Don't go anywhere else. Stay with me. All the way to the end. You're mine. I've got you.
Don't go anywhere else.
Abide in me and I in you. We need to continually be strengthened through our relationship with the true vine. By continuing to read His Word and continuing constantly to meditate and think and dwell in our minds and our hearts upon His Word. Trusting completely in Him. Continuing in prayer constantly and continuing in fellowship with His church. You won't get the same somewhere else. Many have tried it. And only the weak can stay. Those that are strong in convictional power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit in their life cannot stay in a church that does not teach the truth. They will never be satisfied. It's an exhortation, folks, to stay with the truth. To continue in the exercise of faith and love to Christ. Cleaving to Him with full purpose of heart. Getting our life, our grace, our strength, and our nourishment all from Him. As Christ is formed in our hearts, He continues there as a living source of all grace that we receive from this one who has shown, is showing, and will always show His undying love for His elect. You are His. You're His. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself.
Have you ever tried it? Cut a branch off and say, I want you to grow and produce fruit.
Can't do it. Won't do it. It'll die.
The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We, in like manner, cannot exist or produce spiritual fruit unless we abide in Him.
Jesus wants us to look at nature and consider the relationship between the vine and the branches. That's why He wrote this for us. He compares it to the union between the Lord and His people. The branches are connected to the vine and thereby get their vitality. The minerals from the soil and the water taken from the earth are tremendous, but only reach the branches through the vine. The roots in that tree draw up the minerals and so forth. The different minerals around in that soil, and it comes up through the bark and through the core of some trees and feeds that branch. This is the Lord's church. He started His church for you and I, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of Him. God is the source of all life. The verse continues there in verse 4. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Let's look at the whole verse again. Abide in me and I in you. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me, God says. Jesus said. And so we must encourage one another to abide in Christ and to bear fruit.
You know, it's what fruit trees are for.
It's what fruit trees are for.
What good?
Bobby Stinnett, he come down to visit us here in September from Lexington, Kentucky, had some couple peach trees in the backyard. You know, he left those peach trees. They looked horrible. Oh, I felt sorry for these trees. All knotty, gnarly, looking nasty, looking weeping, looking peach trees. They look pathetic, but they produce beautiful, delicious peaches. I said, Bobby, why don't you spray those trees? Oh, they're still producing peaches. Yeah, but you need to make them healthy. And he kept those trees for years producing peaches. But once they stopped, what happened to the peach trees? Cut off. And so, we as God's dear children must encourage one another to abide in Christ and to bear fruit. He must be our all in all, as Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't waver. 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. It's your job and my job as being members of this church to encourage each other in producing good fruit. Provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. What does it mean to exhort one another? To remind, encourage, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, the Bible is very clear about this thing. When a person gets away from the things of the Lord, in our mind, it should be a fearful thing for them to do that. It should be in their mind a fearful thing to step away. If you're walking down a boardwalk or going across a swinging bridge, you concentrate on what you're doing and you hang on to get across that thing so you don't fall from one side to the other. Down there in Honduras, they put one of those swinging bridges across a big gully, and a bunch of them were on it, including a couple of doctors and nurses. They were on it, a bunch of kids, and they started trying to get the thing to swing. You know what happened? It flipped and injured, I don't know how many, and killed the doctor. What happened? They weren't using their head. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And so we too can get out of line and do something foolish and get out of line with the Lord's church and end up being disciplined. Happens. It happens. Because we're not keeping on line. We're not staying in the where the source of the truth is. You must abide in me. Remember, the Lord's church is His. It's His. He started it. These other organizations that are universal church and doctrine and all the mess that they do and their fun and games and all that, you know, there may be some saved people in there, and I believe there are, but they're not believing the truth. Not believing the truth. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31 tells us this. This is written to whom? To blood-bought believers who sin willfully and draw away from the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. When we are negligent or willfully depart from the Lord's church or from Christ for a time in thought, or deed, or do our own thing, we will indeed bear the consequences for it. If we're not getting the proper spiritual food, we will suffer for it. Sickness, loss of possessions, or sadness may befall us, and we will be wilted, withered, fruitless, and in a sad, sad condition.
A neighbor gave me a basket of pears the day before yesterday. Oh, they look beautiful.
Hard, worthless pear. I mean, we tried to eat one. Gnarly looking things. They cut them open. They're all rotten. And some of them rotten on the inside. They look beautiful on the outside, really. I mean, look edible from the outside. Pigs spray them with pear trees. Bugs. They're in sad condition. Something happened to them.
Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Listen, God can take His own children out if they get in a bad way. He can do it. Has done it. Will do it again. You get out of fellowship with Him, He'll say, "Okay, son, I don't want you to bring more reproach upon my church, and so no more." And cut you off. Verse 29 says, "About how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite of the Spirit of grace. I've heard people just recently, people I was trying to witness to, tell me, "Yeah, I don't go to church no more because there's some hypocrites there." And he says, he actually admitted, he says, "Mo, I'm glad I knew you're a preacher because I could have told you some willies. I mean, some big jokes. Man jokes. I don't want to hear that junk." We don't want to hear that junk. What happened? If he was saved, God's going to whoop him until he gets back in. And there are a lot of people today that have the appearance of Christianity for those that look around, but their hearts are evil. Isn't that what happened to the Pharisees? Scribes? Inwardly? Outwardly looked pretty good. Their robes were white and clean, but inwardly, ravening wolves. Verse 30 says of Hebrews 10, "For we know Him that has said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense,' saith the Lord." And again, notice here it says, "The Lord shall judge His people." That's what it says. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What will happen? You'll get whooped and you'll lose rewards. You won't lose your salvation, but you're going to lose some rewards. God chastens and He purifies His children, the Bible teaches us. When we are lax in our love for Him or careless in our Christian duty, our fellowship with God and testimony before God, before the world, suffer. But our relationship with the Father will not end. He will love and He'll correct us accordingly to what we have done in this body, whether it be good or evil. That's what the Bible says. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards," after the beating, after that switch, "it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." God, it was God who started this work of grace, and He will keep us. He will keep us.
Philippians 1:6 says that, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus promised that we should not be taken out of His hand, ever. John 10:28 tells us, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Going back to our text in John 15 and verse 5 now. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Notice here. He that abideth in me, ye are. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. How close is that relationship? It's very intimate. It's very intimate. How close is this relationship of Jesus Christ to us? It is the closest one that can ever be found. Nothing closer. It's a tight union because it involves eternal life with Jesus as the Savior of our very soul. Meditate upon this involvement of the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. He not only has an interest in us, but He unites us to Himself as a branch and a vine. Think of this vital relationship. He elected us before the foundation of the world. He came to us. He called us by His blessed Holy Spirit, using human instrumentality in the preaching of the gospel, saving grace which is unmerited favor, was given, and imputed holiness of Jesus was applied, and God's persevering grace carries us to this date today, according to His divine will. Because of Him, we live. He abideth in me and I in Him, as our verse says. The same He that abideth in me. Some don't. He that abideth in me and I in Him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Strongly expresses the necessity of abiding in Christ by fresh, repeated acts of faith, if we are to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and the influence of Christ within us. You will act like a Christian. It's in you to do that. The pear tree produces pears, the apple apples, the grape, the lemon produces. If it doesn't, there's something wrong. Bearing much fruit is the proof of a healthy, vibrant plant or vine. As a life in the vine is evident to us when we see its branches and leaves waving in the sky, its fruit coming forth. Also, spiritual life in a child of God is manifested by its fruit. There will be evidence of faith in Christ and a performance of good works in a new creature in Christ. That tight union of the vine to the branches continues to produce fruit as long as that person lives. During this life, fruit will be produced in our lives if true salvation has been wrought in us. None of our good works are done by Adamic nature desiring to do them. No. But because of our new life in Christ Jesus, which is nurtured by the power and grace that we continue to receive from God. You know, You know what age does to fruit? You pick green fruit, and with age, it gets riper. Age ripens and sweetens the fruit. Now we know it gets to a point, starts going the other direction, starts to go bad. But we, as Christians, need to be constantly producing this fruit that only comes from the power of God. I mean, we can't do it in ourselves because of what God has done in us. See, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, because he desired to live for Christ, the apostle desired to live for Christ, and so do we. I am crucified, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he, Jesus, walked. Now our union with Christ is a spiritual one. Turn with me, please, for a moment in the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, we read verses 1 through 6, please. 1 John 2, 1 through 6. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of ours for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, but whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Verses 28 and 29, please. And now, little children, abide in him. There's that word, abiding in Christ. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Notice the next part. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know that he is righteous. If ye know that he is righteous, you know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. There's fruit, as that verse so clearly says. The Lord wants us to receive this truth about the vine and the branches, which pictures the life of our soul as being derived from the life of our Savior. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Our union with Christ is vital. It's real. It's not imaginary, but a fact. Our spiritual life is growth as dependent upon him. Our spiritual life and our growth is dependent upon Jesus as the branches are upon the vine. Our union with Christ is a relationship of mutual interest. The vine and the branches are naturally working together in one accord to produce the fruit, but they are distinct in their function. There are some trees, like the cacao tree, really strange, how the fruit comes from the tree. It pops out on the side of the, not in the, well, it's on the branches as well, but on the, even on the trunk, there'll be a knot and there'll pop out a big ball, And that's where you get chocolate from. The cacao. There are other trees that have different ways of showing its fruit. But the fact is that it all comes from the vine or from the trunk or the root system. And it depends upon it for life, for sustenance.
And so we depend upon God for that relationship,
for that strength. Our union with Christ is a relationship of mutual interest. The vine and the branches are working together in one accord to produce the fruit,
but they are distinct in their functions.
Both Jesus and the believer are united in an effort to bear the fruit of righteousness. The union between the vine and the branches is a wonderful illustration. We are always in Him, and He always in us. As a sap flows through the vine and the branches, providing the necessary nutrients, Jesus Christ is imparting to us His grace and Spirit in a continual flow. It's always there. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So our correction is for our own good. It's good for us to be disciplined. James 3:18 says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now the branches depend upon the vine, and not the vine on the branches. If you lop off the branches on a healthy tree or bush, those branches that you've cut off will die. We all know that. But not the vine. Not the vine. When you prune a rose bush, you trim it down to about 6 inches off the ground in the fall. In the spring, if it's a healthy rose bush, in the spring, it's going to bring out new. There's going to broke out old other branches that will produce roses. When you trim grape vines, you have to prune them back. If you don't prune them off, you will not get the production you would if you had pruned them correctly. More branches do grow back. They take the root out of the ground. Now, the other thing is this. If you take the root out of the ground, what's going to happen? The whole thing will die. If you prune the wrong thing, you can kill it. You can kill it. Jesus is eternal, so we have no fear of dying spiritually. We as His children say. So, it is in the spiritual realm. So it is in the spiritual realm, the disciples of the Lord are completely dependent upon Christ. But He is still God without us. Jesus Christ will have other disciples, but we will never have another loving Lord Jesus Christ. Only He, and He alone. He's given so much to us. His life and His blood. The horrible sufferings in His body. Our sin debt was placed upon Him, being forsaken by the disciples and then by His Holy Father, who turned His back on Him because of the sin that was upon Him. What love and what compassion that He has manifested to you and I. Without Me, ye can do nothing. Without Me, you can't do anything. You may ask nothing. That's right. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot do anything good. Without God, you can't do good work without an ulterior motive or think a good thought without the enabling power of God. What does it say about the plowing of the wicked? Abomination, God said. Because why? They're doing it for, it's not for the praise and glory of God. They don't give God thanks for the soil. They don't give God thanks for the rain. It's all me, 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 me. How much I can put in my granaries. That's what it is. But nothing is to be done without acknowledging Christ, whether in word or deed. Nothing of eternal value is accomplished without Christ, without His Spirit, grace, strength, and power and presence. The one who is blessed of the Lord is the one who gives all the glory to God for everything that passes in his life. Without me, you can do nothing. All the fruitfulness of a believer is to be ascribed to Christ and His grace, and not to be the free will or the power of man. Were it possible for the branches that are truly in Him to be removed from Him, they could bring forth no fruit of good works. Couldn't do it. Any more than a branch separated from the vine can bring forth grapes. A branch separated from the vine cannot bring forth grapes. So then all the fruit which is produced by the family of God must be ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him all the praise and glory. He is our life. He is our all in all. So man has no place to brag, no place to boast, no place to show off and say, look what I've done. If any good work is performed by God's children, we must praise the Lord for that. That He gave us the ability to produce that good work. Oh, and I can go another. Time has just left us. I'll continue this later on, possibly next Sunday morning, if the Lord be pleased. But what a blessing it is to know that we need to abide in Him. To realize that we in ourselves are really nothing. And He is our source of life, both spiritually and physically. We must trust and rely on Him. From the little baby to the eldest brother or sister in our congregation, all of us must realize that it all depends upon Him. Everything. The next verse will be John 15:6, and I'm just going to read it. If a man abide not in me, this is the hard part of it. If man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. Another subject. We'll think upon that, see how the Lord leads in bringing that part of this abiding in Him to the assembly. May God bless you with these words. May we all stand and have a word of prayer.